Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we bow before you at this time to thank you for all of the wonderful thoughts expressed in our study, and we thank you for opening up our eyes that we would understand all the symbols. And we thank you for our business meeting where we have the liberty of expressing different thoughts and trying to reach a conclusion to glorify your holy name. And now we ask a blessing upon Brother Chris as he directs our thoughts. And we also want to thank you that we would come before you with a thank offering in our hearts. We praise you and thank you for all things, and we ask a blessing upon all our brethren throughout the world. We ask these blessings in our dear Redeemer's most precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Irwin. And just like as we sang in this hymn, brethren, hallelujah, what a Savior. This is what we want to exclaim whenever we think about our Lord and His great and selfless sacrifice. And it is more so around this season that our hearts are so focused on Him. Every year, as we consider Jesus and the memorial of His death, we find new dimensions of His love. And we are amazed at the care, thoughtfulness, and manifold provisions that His Father and Jesus Himself have supplied for the progress of the Christians on their narrow way and for the grand fulfillment of the promises to the whole world of mankind. Our hearts are filled with thankfulness, but sometimes it is truly hard to find the words of our own. Hard to express the sentiment of how great the love of Jesus is to us. Our hearts and minds often resonate with what others have expressed much better than we could hope to say ourselves. We are thankful for the talent that God endowed upon some individuals and made them capable of expressing the emotions, the feelings, those feelings of praise and those of sadness at this time. They are expressed in many ways, sometimes through spoken word, frequently through poetry, through pictures or paintings, through prayers, hymns, musical compositions, and sometimes in other languages which come back to us translated in some form with the same emotions. Thus, the title of our devotional is, What Language Shall I Borrow? And it is an echo from the hymn that we will sing later, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, in reference to Jesus our Lord? We would like to reflect together as we consider, listen, and sing together these expressions of thankfulness to our God and to His Son Jesus. It appears that the memorial season abounds with these more artistic expressions. It's associated with the holiday of the Passover, where a large number of Christians and Jews hold together these holidays as the most important holiday. So let's start for a moment with the Jewish traditions. We see how precisely God orchestrated and ordered the holiday of Pesach, or Passover, and tied it so clearly with the freedom that the nation of Israel received from the Egyptian bondage. For 35 centuries, God's chosen people, obedient to the divine direction, have celebrated the memorial Passover, seeing merely its outward signification, and not for a moment realizing the true significance of the grand fact which they celebrate, that it typified a grand feature of the divine plan, of great value to them and to all mankind. The lamb they slew typified the Lamb of God, Jesus, whose death constitutes the ransom price for the sins of the whole world. His death was necessary before the promise to Abraham and through him to the chosen people could possibly have fulfillment. A redemption from sin, to be everlastingly efficacious, must be based upon a better sacrifice than the literal lamb repeated annually. It was not only necessary that Jesus became a man in order to give his life a sacrifice for mankind, Adam and his race, But it was necessary additionally that having finished the sacrificing work, he would ascend up on high to Jehovah's right hand to be the spiritual Messiah, who in due time will accomplish for the chosen people all the gracious promises made to them in the covenant with Abraham, in which they trust and in harmony with which they will be used of the Lord in conveying his blessings to all nations, peoples, and tongues. As sin condemnation was on the world, the wages of sin is death. Man's penalty must be met before this condemnation of death would be fully and forever set aside, before man could be entirely and forever lifted out of death and back to eternal life and into harmony with his Creator. But Israel, when Jesus came and offered himself to Israel as the king, they saw not how he could be their Messiah, because he had neither wealth nor armies nor influential friends. They disdained him as a deceiver. When he declared himself the Son of God and their deliverer, they thought him an impostor and a blasphemer and worthy of death. After sentencing him in their own Sanhedrin court, not having the authority to execute him himself, they charged him with the only crime which the Roman governor would hear, treason of the Roman emperor. By threatening Pilate that they would associate him with Jesus in treason, they finally effected the crucifixion of the antitypical Passover lamb. He was stretched upon the cross much after the manner in which they impaled their Passover lamb for its roasting. We know that they were acting in ignorance for the most part, and under the leadership that denied the truth. The centuries and millennia that followed Jesus' death found the nation of Israel dispersed, pressed by trouble, persecution, and by murderous attitude toward the Jewish people from many other nations. Yet through all these years and trials, the discipline and focus within the family circle has kept this nation ever focused on reading God's word, passing it to the next generation, and retaining its identity. The Passover is a memorial of first rank with the Israelites. It celebrates one of the most momentous chapters in their history. It stands at the beginning of their ecclesiastical year, just as the Day of Atonement stands near the beginning of their civil year. It's associated with their national birth, and the scriptures declare that God at that particular time brought to the throne of Egypt a Pharaoh of indomitable will. The Passover Seder, which is a term that we hear, is often thought to be a meal. But in fact, the word Seder means order or arrangement. The Passover Seder is a rabbi-prescribed sequence of steps for a family gathering, and it was supposed to be within every family circle. There are prayers, reading from the scripture, and a family interaction where children are supposed to ask questions about the night of the Passover. Why is it different than any other night? And why the food eaten is different? The original rule of eating the lamb has been replaced with a requirement of a lamb shank bone. There are also other foods illustrated here. In addition to these, wine and unleavened bread are also used. And the holiday that follows is called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, as we know. But in the explanation to these questions that the children ask, and in the answers to the symbolism of all the food, everything points to the great day of deliverance experienced by the generation gone by. This knowledge, the sharing of the story of freedom passed from generation to generation, means that really the parent needs to feel as though they had actually been delivered from the bondage in Egypt, and that they were delivered by the mighty hand of God and are now telling this story in remembrance of it. So we see these beautiful examples and patterns in the Jewish Passover. One of the prayers or blessings at the beginning of the Passover Seder is a kiddush or a sanctification. And so we will ask Brother Jack if he could read to us the text of this sanctification used in the Jewish Passover Seder.
Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who chose us from all the nations and elevated us above all tongues and sanctified us with his commandments. And you gave us, Lord our God, with love, festivals for happiness, holidays and times for joy. This day, the festival of Matzos, the time of our freedom. A holy convocation, a remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. Because you chose us and sanctified us from all the nations, in your holy festivals and happiness and in joy you gave us, have given us as a heritage. Blessed are you, God, who sanctifies Israel in the holiday seasons. Blessed are you, Lord our King, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us alive and sustained us and brought us to this season.
Thank you, Brother Jack. These are beautiful words of blessing. I think we would agree that on an earthly level, these are beautiful words of blessing God and acknowledging his blessing and thanking him for what has been received from him. So now what I'd like to do is, if you don't mind snooping in on a modern Jewish household for a moment with me, we have a clip of a similar Kiddush blessing recited with a little melody, as you would expect, in Hebrew. So please take a look at the table with the food. We will play this in a moment. Take a look at the grandfather being really in the center of this event and how, with great respect, the whole family, though they are very small children, look and learn together this prayer. This is really on the second night of the Passover Seder, as the person who posted this video explained to us. So let's see if we can bring that up.
Which time is it? Is it Pesach?
Yeah.
All right, and we've got Grandpa.
Excuse me, wrong.
Grandpa's saying second night Seder. And we've got Grandma here. Oh. Hello, gorgeous.
I'll play it again.
Here we go. You ready? Everybody ready?
Yes. Well, we'll have to take two if the baby starts crying in the middle. Okay.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Barei Peri Hagafen.
Amen.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher bochabonu mikolam, Torah mamonu mikol Hashem, V'kidishonu b'mitzvaysom. V'ati ten lanu Adonai l'heinu b'yavom, Morim l'simcha, Chagim uzmanim l'sosam, Es yam chagam atzot hazeh, Zman chayruseinu mikro kodesh, Zecher l'tzias mitzroyim. Ivanu v'chartzo v'yosonu kidashtu mikol kohanim Omadei kotshecho v'simcho v'sosal Inachal tonu Baruch atodunoy v'kadesh Yisroel V'hazmanim
Amen
Baruch atodunoy Eloheinu melech v'elom Shekianu, Vikiyamanu, Vahigianu, Lazman Hazel.
Amen. Did you also do it, Danny? Good boy. Don't spoil your grape juice. You can drink it now.
Okay, as you could see, the children are very engaged in this prayer, in the whole reproduction of the traditional time when they can focus more clearly on the time of deliverance and the time of joy. And so we found that this example is such a moving illustration of God's great wisdom in commanding Israel to pass this knowledge to generations following, and as we see, it has survived until today. And this Seder was in fact being celebrated in Israel after many thousands of years of not being able to do that. Before we leave the Jewish traditions of expressing thankfulness for God's salvation and freedom, we want to share another song which finds an echo in our hearts as we consider the blessings of the salvation that we have in our Christian walk. This song is entitled Dayenu, which translates, it would suffice, it would have sufficed, it would have been enough. The melody of this song is so uplifting, and I think you may actually carry this tune when you leave here, but it actually, the song consists of 15 verses, of which we will not sing all of them, but these verses gradually recount the blessings on Israel's exit from the Egyptian bondage. And here are just a few verses. If he had brought us out from Egypt and had not carried out judgment against them, Dayenu, it would have sufficed us. If he had carried out the judgment against them and not against their idols, it would have sufficed us. If he had taken us through the sea on dry land and not drowned our oppressors in it, it would have sufficed us. If he had fed us the manna and not given us the Shabbat, Dayenu, it would have sufficed us. If he had given us the Shabbat and not brought us before Mount Sinai, it would have sufficed us. If he had given us the Torah and had not brought us into the land of Israel, Dayenu, it would have sufficed us. And yet we know that they recount all these blessings, that they all consecutively happened and they took place. And same with our Christian experience and the way we see the blessings in our lives. We could say, sometimes, Lord, I probably should have been happy with just a little portion of the blessing that I have. Or maybe our life progressed in stages. Our consecration was being elucidated to us and opened to us more knowledge than we had ever thought of before. And we would have said at the beginning, that would have been sufficient. And yet the Lord was so gracious to us. So now we will hear this very quick song that only probably has two verses of it, and hopefully you will enjoy this. Happy Passover. And as you saw that last statement on the screen, next year in Jerusalem. Those were the thoughts that and hopes that all the Jewish people had for many centuries, and now they are no longer remote. Do we have this thankful attitude in our hearts as we think about the progression and blessings that we experience in our walk with Christ? As we read, for example, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption with the various stages and deeper blessings. For the remaining time, we will dwell with the Christian outlook on Passover as it memorializes the sacrifice of the unblemished Lamb of God, prepared from before the foundation of the world. Our mode of reflection will be more somber and serious, while the blessings and joy of the victorious overcoming by our Lord and the blessings of remembering his resurrection are ahead of us just 3 days after the memorial. Yet the memorial itself reminds us to look at our Lord Jesus' service, untiring love, patient suffering, and cruelty, and death that was inflicted on him, and to renew our appreciation for them, and to see them in a new and richer and deeper light this year. As we know, I realize that the screen isn't showing exactly what I'm hoping it should be. Oh, here it is. As we know, Christianity in general has seen the import of our Lord's last days and of his death. These scenes of his last days, from his entry to Jerusalem and to his trial and to his crucifixion, have been depicted in many paintings and acted out in many performances, and undoubtedly to serve as a reminder of the momentous turning point that his death and its meaning brought about. Although not everyone is clear as to the exact meaning of these events, yet one thing is similar: the response of those who see Jesus and what he has done for them. In this occasion, the word passion is used to signify the events and suffering, the physical, spiritual, mental suffering of Jesus in the hours before and including his trial and execution by crucifixion. In 1727, Johann Sebastian Bach set chapters 26 and 27, some of which we've read today, of the Gospel of Matthew to music, with interspersed chorales and arias. It is widely regarded as one of the masterpieces of a classical sacred music. You know, we frequently see the talent of the artists and their genius, and with amazement we thank God for that gift, and we try to use it as a blessing, anticipating that this and greater blessing will be possible with a human genius in the kingdom. It is much easier to see this and receive this blessing from those composers who, like Bach, were expressly dedicating their talents to produce a work such as Matthew's Passion. This almost 300 years old music still lifts our spirits and puts us in a deep reflection mode, and we would like to share some memorable pieces for our reflection. We are about to listen to the opening chorale of the part one, and it is opened by the chorus, "Come ye daughters, help me mourn." Choir one and choir two act separately, as if asking one another and responding to questions. "Look at him." Choir two is interrupting, "How?" Choir one responds, "Look at him as a lamb." And thus an invitation to help in mourning, while looking at Jesus' example in his last hours. As such, let us spend the time remembering him and reflecting on his loving submission and his patience, which were required for him to endure the suffering for our sins. The chorale is actually in German, but we have an English translation here, and we'll ask Sister Joy to read the words of the chorale. And afterwards, we will listen to it, and it will be in German, and you will see the words in this, on the screen. And for those who know it by measure, it will be slightly abbreviated for time's sake.
Come, ye daughters, help me mourn. Look! At whom? The bridegroom, look at him. In what guise? Like a lamb. Come, daughters, help me mourn. Look! At what? Look at his patience. Look! Where? At our guilt. Look at him carrying, out of love and grace, wood for the cross himself.
Thank you.
read in Matthew 27, 27 and 28. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. We would now like to sing the hymn, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." This hymn, known from about the year 1000 AD and more popular from the 16th century, focuses on our thankfulness for Jesus' suffering. The English translation, though it's originally in German, is very beautiful. This melody was used by other composers, for example, Johann Sebastian Bach in Matthew's Passion, and also by Johannes Brahms, also used in organ settings. But what is important to us is, as we sing this hymn, and the words will be on the screen, to acknowledge the Lord's great suffering and ask him, how can we ever repay for what he has done, and how can we thank him? What beautiful sentiments in this hymn, and how much we have to be thankful for to our Master. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And in Ephesians 3:17 we read, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all fullness with God, all fullness of God. We will now listen to the hymn of the deep, deep love of Jesus. In Luke 22:61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. The intense feeling of shame, guilt, and grief after denying his friend and master is also a reminder to us of the event that transpired the night of the memorial, as we keenly watch and pray that we might be able to always confess our Lord in all situations. For a few minutes, we'd like to watch and listen to the performance of one area from St. Matthew's Passion by Johann Sebastian Bach. It is entitled, "Have Mercy, Lord." This one was performed in 1947 by a talented violinist, Yehudi Menuhin, and it is sung by Yula Biel. Some of you may be familiar with these names. The German title is Erbarme Dich, and we will hear it in English, though. Thank you. read in Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." We will now ask Sister Marilyn to read the poem Gethsemane from the Poems of Dawn.
Aid the world's Redeemer sought that night. He went alone to pray for grace and strength, to drink the last drop in his cup. Great souls crave solitude in sorrow's hour. Not e'en his well-beloved three might share the sacredness of that deep woe. He bade them tarry while he went a little farther on and fell upon his face. Gethsemane, a solitary place, apart. No mortal feet may press in sympathy that dark and crimsoned earth. No human hand the fevered brow may cool. No other heart can share its agony. No voice but God's may break the solemn silence there, a place where every soul must drink alone the cup the Father's hand hath poured and given to his child. Gethsemane, a desert place, alone, apart? Ah, no. The anguished heart doth never cry in vain to him who marks the smallest sparrow when it falls. For he shall send his angel with the message, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will ne'er forsake, nor let thee fail. My right hand shall uphold, my love, my power shall keep thee, even to the bitter end."
Thank you, Sister Marilyn. We would like to play something in another language now. It isn't going to be in Polish. For those of you who may speak Polish or perhaps recall attending the memorial service with your parents, if you grew up in a Polish family, perhaps you will recognize this hymn. Its rough translation appears on the screen, and it's also about the Lord's anguish in Gethsemane. It is well known in Poland, but so far I have not found the same melody, so I hope that by you listening to it, perhaps you can, if you recognize it, please let me know. You will hear it sung by Brother Wiśniewski of Warsaw, Poland, who recorded all the hymns that the Polish Bible students sing. His labor of love and service to the brethren goes a very long way.
Yeah.
now ask Brother Jeff to read these two scriptures that speak to Jesus being our refuge now that he has overcome.
Flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became all to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. We are so thankful that Jesus overcame. And as we read, as we have read in this passage, let us now listen. Let us now actually, instead of listening to the recording, let's all sing the whole hymn. There will be three verses. The hymn 137. Let's remember about this wonderful refuge that we have in our Lord. Jesus, refuge of my soul. Close to the end of our hour. We just have one more hymn to sing together, I Am the Door. And as we remember, these words are from our Lord's, one of his final discourses to the disciples. And as we sing this hymn, let us remember that we have this door through which we can come in and fellowship with the Father. Let us see how protective and how thoughtful Jesus is to us, and how well he can protect us against the storm. And as we go through this week in preparation for our Lord's memorial, may some of these sentiments accompany us, some of these and more, what we see in our daily walk and what we see would expand our fellowship with our Lord and with the Father and would bring us closer to them. And at the end, after four verses, we will arise on the fourth verse and we'll ask Brother Dan to come forward and close the meeting with a word of prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gathering and for this meeting and for helping us learn more about the sacrifice of your Son and the meaning of memorial. We ask that you watch over us all in the coming days and weeks, that we make our light shine before men and we make our calling and election sure. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.